Okay. So the Mishnah of the Gaim starts off like this. There are 24 extremities on the man. And because if the mechia were to develop, let's say, on the fingertip, so because you cannot see it from one vantage point, in other words, to see the whole thing, you're going to have to turn your finger around or turn your head around, so therefore, it doesn't qualify as a mechia. Okay, that's just simply how this type of tzaras presents itself, or qualifies as tzaras. The Elohim and the 24 extremities are, so Rashi Etzvos Yadam V'Raglayim, the Rashi has nine, I'm sorry, so first of all, the 10 digits on the hand, and the 10 digits on the feet, so already that gets us to 20. Rosh HaZnayim, the ears. Rosh HaChotem, the nose. And Rosh HaGviah, and the male member of, and the male member. V'Rosh HaDadim Shebe'isha. Now for a woman, so it's going to be the Rosh HaDadim. So obviously take out the Gviah, and replace it with the Rosh HaDadim. So it's 24 for a man, and it'll be 25 for a woman. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Av Shebe'ish. Now Rabbi Yehuda says that for the man, the Dadim also are going to be included. So that means for him it's going to be 24 plus another 2, 26. Utiniyala Bekulam. Now, that's the Mishnah in Negayim. Okay, so that now is the definition of extremities as it relates to Saras. Specifically this kind called Michya. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take all those extremities that were identifying Negayim, and now we're going to bring it back to our discussion in terms of Rosh Eivarim as it relates to an Evik Hanani. Bekulam, now here, you need to know what Braisa, which Rav Chisda does. He's Rav Chisda. Utini Allah, Bekulam Evid Yosef Am Lecheres. Now in all these extremities, the Evik Hanani is going to go free. Rebbe Omer Afasiris. Now Rebbe says, I'm going to add on to the list, meaning all 24 that we just discussed based on the Mishnah Negayim, plus also Siris as well, which right now we're just going to call castration, and in a moment we're going to be actually more detailed on what exactly that means. And Benaza Omer Afalashon, and Benaza includes the tongue as well. Now, that is Rav Chisda's answer to the question of whether or not the cutting of the beitzim are going to be considered a mumshe begalui in terms of allowing the Evik Hanani to be released and go free. Now the Gemara is going to fill in the gaps, because what was his answer? What was Rav Chisda's answer? Amar Mar, Rebbe Omer Afasiris. Now, in the Braisa that we just learned, Rebbe added the 24 Ivar mentioned in the Mishnah Negayim, plus also Siris. Now, Siris to Mai. Elam is Siris to Gid. Now, if we're talking about the actual male member, so Hainu Gviya. It can't be, because the Mishnah in Negayim already mentioned Gviya. So that already is one of the 24. So when Rebbe's adding on Siris, it can't be talking about the actual Gviya itself. Elalav Siris to Beitzim. Oh, so therefore, what Rebbe must be talking about is specifically the Siris of the Beitzim. Rebbe Omer Alpha Siris. Now, that's what Rebbe's telling us. So now, put together the Mishnah Negayim, the Braisa where Rebbe adds on also Siris. We know that Rebbe's addition of Siris is not talking about the Gviya. We know it's talking about the Beitzim. And so now that's the answer to the question. The question is the Beitzim considered a Mumsha Begalui? The answer is, I mean, it's not a, right, correct. It's not a satisfying answer in that it's one answer, but at least you know it's a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim of the Braisa. That's the answer. Now, V'Rebbe Lashon Lo. Now, it's interesting, says the Gemara, because Rebbe did not include the tongue. It was only Ben Azai who included the tongue as considered a mum shebegalui, or remenu. But the Gemara says, but I'll tell you, however, I think Rebbe would include the tongue. Why? Hare Misha Yamaza Venidze Haza Apiv. Let's say you got sprinkled with the mechatas, right? The mayim chayim mixed together with the ashes of the paraduma, and a person is tamei meis, and he's going to get sprinkled on day 3 and day 7, and on day 7 after getting sprinkled he's going to tovel in the mikvah, and after day 7 he's going to be tar legamre. So, and you have to be sprinkled that over your entire body. There has to simply be contact between the water and any external part of your body. And let's say as you got sprinkled with the mechatas, the only thing it hit was your tongue. Is that considered an external part of your body? Rebbe Omer? Well, actually, it didn't say tongue. I said that, but I know what's coming up. So the Al Piv. Rebbe Omer, Hiza. So Rebbe says that works. The Chachamim say no, it does not work. So my love al lashono. So the Gemara is assuming that we're talking about the tongue. So the Gemara says lo asfasav. So the Gemara says no, it didn't hit the tongue, it hit the lips. So the Gemara says lips al asfasav pshito. What do you mean? The lips are for sure part of your external part of your body. So the Gemara says, yeah, but sometimes what you could do with your lips, you could press them really tight one against the other, and they would be at times covered because they were clenched together. So kamash malan. So that's the havamina, and the chiddush is no, the lips are considered part of the external part of the body. So the Gemara says v'hatanya aloshon. The Gemara says no, that's not the pshat. We're talking about the tongue. We have a brisa. The brisa says we're talking about the tongue. V'otanya, and the Gemara says, on top of that, we have another brisa. Now this brisa is talking about a physical blemish that disqualifies an animal from being a carbon. But it's the same basic criteria. It has to be an external part of the body of the animal. And the brisa says, Vishinito Rov Lashon. Rabbi Omer, Rov Hamidabir Bilashono. If let's say the animal's tongue was missing. And according to Rebbe, not even the part that's rooted, that's anchored into the mouth, even if it's just the tip of the tongue, or not even, it has to be the part of the tip of the tongue, meaning the part that comes out of the mouth, the one that you and I speak with. Now Rashi points out, of course an animal doesn't speak, but we're just using that as a point of reference, describing the tongue, part of the tongue of the animal that comes out. Rebbe says that if that part of the tongue is missing, the animal is considered a bal mum. So you see that it's considered an external blemish. So clearly we're talking about the tongue. So now what comes out from this discussion is Rebbe's of the opinion that the tongue is considered part of the external body. And if that's true, I go back to the Braisa and I'm not following the Braisa. Let's go over the Braisa again. Tanakhama says there are 24 Rashi Avam, 24 extremities. Rebbe says I'm going to also add the Sris. Ben Azai says I'm going to also add the tongue. So from the way that Bryce is constructed, it sounds like Rebbe would exclude the tongue. But meanwhile, we just quoted a series of Bryces, one having to do with Hazah, the other one having to do with a mum in an animal, and it's clear from the second Bryce than the first, but it's clear that, according to Rebbe, the tongue is part of the external body, and therefore, I don't understand the Bryce. Ela Rebbe Omer Sirus Velomi Bay Lashon. So when Rebbe says Sirus, he was also including Lashon as well. Now Benazir Omer Lashon, Ava Sirus Lo. And Benazir said no. I agree with Lashon, I agree with the tongue, but I don't agree with the Sirus. Umay Af Akamaisa. And even though Benazir said the word Af, even he wasn't commenting on Rebbe's point, he was commenting on the Tanakama's point. Ihachi Naktima de Benazir Beresha. So I'm sorry, Naktime de Benazir. So, yeah, Bereisha. Right. So the Gemara says, okay, so then if you're right, so when you are presenting the Braisa should be organized in the following manner. First, the Tanakama and the 24 Yavarim. Mm-hmm. Then Ben Azai, who adds on the tongue and only the tongue. And then Rebbe, who on top of all that also adds Sirus. Sirus HaBeitzim. That's the way the Braisa should be organized. And according to you, why isn't the Braisa organized that way? So the Gemara says, Shamalei de Rebbe v'kava. I was right the first time. Bereisha Tana Shamalei de Rebbe v'kava v'shamalei de Ben Azai utini. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Braisa first had the opinions of the Tanakama and then Rebbe. Ben Azai was only an added-on point at a later point in time. And this is a rule that we see time and again throughout Shas. And that is that even though it may be a little bit awkward, you don't change a Mishnah or a Braisa. If you have a Braisa presented in a certain way, you keep it that way. Remember, everything back then was committed to memory. So once you had a Braisa and it was a sing-song, memorized Braisa, you keep it that way, and then you'll add on an additional point after the Braisa, even though, yes, it would have been better had Ben Azai's position been inserted into the Braisa. But Mishnah lo zazam im koma. Amar ula komodim lashon linyan tuma degalu hu etzol sheretz. Now, as it relates to the tongue, here's where we all can agree. As far as becoming tameh, the tongue is considered an external part of the body. So if let's say you take your tongue and you touch a sheretz with your tongue, that is disgusting. But Okay, that doesn't matter. The in terms of becoming tamei, remember the sheretz has to be dead. So not only are you licking a sheretz, you're licking a dead sheretz, and you're going to become tamei for that. In that respect, the tongue is considered an external part of the body. My tama, sure you got bo. I'm rechmana v'hainami bar negiahu. You touch things with your tongue; it's considered negiah. Le'inyan tvila b'tama ketama dami. Now, when you go into the mikvah, so you do not need to open your mouth and have the water come into your mouth and touch your tongue. It's not necessary for the tefillah. And the Gemara says, and everyone's in agreement to that. Thank God. So my time at Y Verchatz Basura Bemayim, Amarachman, Ma Basura Me Avrai, Avkol Me Avrai. Water in the mikvah only has to come in contact with external parts of your body and not your mouth. So we know we're clear on two points. To become Tameh, the tongue is considered Nagia. To become Tahor, the mouth does not have to be open and the water does not have to be tongue. Those are the points of clarity. Where is the machlokis? By Hazaa. The sprinkling of the mechatas. So that's the machlokus of what are we going to compare it with? Are we going to compare it with tumah or tefillah? And they are both arguing based on psukim. If you pay careful attention, this past Shabbos, Parshas Para. So we just read the Parsha and Chukas. And the Gemara is going to quote the psukim. V'hiza hatahor al hatameh. What did the Torah just do? Juxtapose Tahara and Tuma. So, Rebbe Savra v'hiza Torah l'tamar, v'yom ha-shishi v'yom ha-shvi, v'yom ha-shvi v'chito. So, Rebbe's position is, look, what did the Torah just do? It just juxtaposed Tuma Tahara. So, just like Tuma is can be communicated through the tongue, Taharas mechatas can also be done even if it only came into contact with the tongue. And the Chachamim will tell you no. Because look what the Torah does also. The Torah juxtaposes the sprinkling on day 7 and the tefillah b'mikvah on day 7. So what does that tell you? That just like when you tovel in the mikvah, your tongue does not have to come into contact with the water, so too with the hazaah, the tongue coming into contact with the water doesn't count. Now, the Chachamim prefer this. There are two juxtapositions. So now all the Gemara is just going to explain is, why did each Tana prefer their juxtaposition? So the Chachamim preferred their juxtaposition because what am I comparing? Taharas mechatas to Taharas mikvah. Tahara and Tahara. It's a better juxtaposition. Now, as far as Rabbi's concerned, no, because that's not a real good juxtaposition. If you look back at the psukim the Gemara quoted, the psukim read, V'rachatz b'saro, sorry. B'yam ha-shishi, b'yam ha-shvi, I'm sorry. V'hiza Torah l'tamay, b'yam ha-shishi, b'yam ha-shvi, So you have the phrase v'chibes begadav inserted between sprinkling on day 7 and toveling in the mikvah. So it kind of creates a barrier between those two phrases, and so it's not as good as a juxtaposition. Okay. So now we get to a big yesod when it comes to toveling in the mikvah. So where do we stand in terms of Rebbe? Rebbe's opinion is, your mouth, when it goes into the mikvah, does not need to be open. And it's not only Rebbe's opinion. It's everyone's opinion. Your mouth does not need to be open when going into the mikvah. In terms of becoming tamei, so if your tongue were to touch a sheretz, you're going to become tamei. That's according to everybody. And the only thing that's open for a debate is sprinkling with the mechatas. The Gemara says, but consider the following. There was a maidservant on the house of Beis Rebbe, Shetavla v'alta. She toveled the mikvah and she came out from the mikvah. Okay, she toveled wine. So she's a shifcha kananis. Okay, it certainly sounds like tuma tahara applies to a shifcha kananis. Either way, she toveled the mikvah and nimsa etzem bein shineha. And as she came out of the mikvah, so she had literally a bone stuck between her teeth. Kind of hard to envision, but the point is she had something stuck in her teeth, and that would have created a chatzitza, a barrier between the water and her teeth. And she went to Rabbi Vitzircha, Rabbi Tzvila Acheres, and Rabbi tells her, "Oh, you got to go tovel in the mikvah again." Okay, Now, the obvious problem is, and we just said that in the mikvah, you don't have to open your mouth. You can keep your mouth closed. And the water does not have to go in. And even though this shivcha of Rebbe had something in her teeth and it posed a chatzitza, but you don't have to have your mouth open in the water. And to which the Gemara answers, and this is the Yesod Gadol, Nihi debias mayim lo bi'inan, makam haroi levo bo mayim bi'inan. So at least you need potential in the mouth. The mouth does not need to be open when you go into the mikvah, but it has to be that if the mouth were to be open, and if the water were to go in, the water were to come into contact with the teeth and the tongue. And it needs at least the potential, but you don't have to open it. The Gemara quotes this this rule of Rabbi Zera a number of times. You look on the side of the Gemara. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And our Gemara, 9. Okay? 9 times throughout Shas, and that is the following. When I make my mincha, I told you mincha was coming up later this morning. Here it is. When I'm preparing my mincha, so there has to be a ratio of flour and oil. How much flour to how much oil? Enough so there would be a good distribution of flour to oil, that it would mix well. So there has to be a maximum of 60 parts flour to one part oil. Anytime you exceed more than 60, so then it's not going to be a good blending of the flour and the oil. Now, Rashi over here on the bottom of the Amud goes on to explain. It doesn't mean that the oil and flour actually have to be mixed together in order for it to be kasher mincha. There just simply has to be a potential of it being mixed together. That is the case regarding a mincha, and Rabbi Zera's application applies over here as well. As long as there's a potential for the water to go in, so and the water would have come into contact with all your teeth and your tongue, so then it'd be good. Once there is a chatzitza between them, so then it would not be good. Okay, we are on the top of Chaf Hei Amud Beis, and let's finish up to the next Mishnah. And so where do we stand right now in terms of Sirus on Beitzim? Now remember, the question was asked to Rav Hamanunin. Rav Hamanunin did not know the answer. The question was asked to Rav Chista. Rav Chista did know the answer, but by knowing the answer, we mean he knew that it was machlokus between the Tanakam and Rebbe as to whether or not Sirus on Beitzim is considered a mumsha begaloi. The Gemara points out, Kitzanai. The Gemara says that based on the Braisa that we're about to learn together, we know that this is subject to a machlokus Tanai. The Torah in Parshas Emor goes on to describe animals that are considered blemish, mauch, kasus, nasuk, vikaros. The Torah gives us four descriptive terms of an animal where if the animal were to have any of these types of injuries, the animal will be considered a bamum and cannot be used as a karban. The Torah describes where it's mauch, crushed, kasus, cut, natuk, crushed, and karus is cut. Okay, so cut, crushed. Sorry. I did that wrong. Crushed, cut. Okay. Now, obviously, the Torah is not repeating itself, so there are different levels of cut and different levels of crushed. Okay, so kulan bebeitzim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So on this pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah here is describing the beitzim. To which the Gemara says, kulam bebeitzim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So bebeitzim v'lo begid, the Gemara says what? It's only describing the beitzim, it's not describing the gid. Ela kulam af bebeitzim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara, just quick editing of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it's af bebeitzim, meaning all these conditions of either cut or crushed are certainly going to apply to the gid of the animal, and are going to also apply to the beitzim of the animal as well. So if it's cut or crushed in either level, so then the animal would be rendered a bamum and cannot be brought as a carbon to the mizbeach. And just taking that now and applying it to the avikanani, which is our discussion, if the owner were to do that to his avikanani, the avikanani would go free. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer kulam begid. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is of the opinion, no, they only apply to the gid, not to the beitzim. And again, for the reason which I explained earlier this morning. Because even though the beitzim are either severed or crushed, but they're still in the sack, and therefore it's not considered a mum shebegoli. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mach v'kasus af bebeitzim. Natuk v'karus begid in bebeitzim lo. The Mach v'kasus, so that's referencing even the beitzim. The Natuk v'karus, that's only referring to the gid, not to the beitzim. As Rashi over here goes on to explain, because the Malchin Kasus are even a further, it's a more severe cut, it's a more severe crushed, and so therefore, if that were to happen to the Beitzim, the animal would be considered a Balmon. As opposed to the Natuk Vikarus, which are only partially cut and partially crushed, that's only referencing the Gid and not referencing to the Beitzim. Point of all this is that Sears Bebeitzim, as to whether or not that's considered a Mumsha Begalui or not, is a Machlokas Tanayim, and that brings us all the way back to the beginning of today's daf, where the elders of Nezunya asked a question to Rav Hamnuna. He didn't know the answer. They asked a question to Rav Chista. They did know the answer. And so that is a full circle, so to say, on today's daf. Okay? All I got is the Gemara given. Okay, and that ends the discussion of Evikanani. Tomorrow we start with the Kenyanim of animals. Okay, we move on tomorrow.